And I'm glad he didn't reward me according to my iniquity. But as far as the east is from the west, hath he separated me from my sins. I'm glad to know that his mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. You said, preacher, how far is that? I don't know, but it sounds pretty far. Everlasting to everlasting. I don't know. I do know preachers say it. A lot of people say it. You can start going west, but you'll never meet up with east. Now, you can go north, and you'll meet up with the south. But you'll never go east or west and meet up with east or west. But I'm glad to know this, that our sins, it's to say that, and I love this. I've heard people say that the Lord forgot our sins. The Lord don't forget. The Lord don't forget. He told the prophet, he said, can a mother forget her suckling child? He said, yea, she may forget. He said, but I'll never forget you. He said, I've engraven you in the palms of my hand. Isn't that good? But he done something better than forget, and he says, I choose to remember your sins no more. That means he knew them and he knows them, but still yet he said, I'm going to get rid of them and I'm not going to remember them. That's grace and that's mercy. And I thank God for it today, and I hope and pray that you can save for assuredly in your heart you thank God for saving you. I'm going to read just one verse out of Matthew chapter number 5. I've preached along these lines before, but the Lord has laid this on my heart once again, and I want to preach, what are you full of? What are you full of today? And I know when it comes to certain times and the days that we're living in, I hear so many people now trying to figure out, or trying to, with great theological backgrounds or studies, to understand the Bible through and by knowledge of, through teachings and research. And I think you ought to research. I think the Lord's blessed us with some things that we can use. But please, whatever you do, don't build your faith on Google.
Right. Amen. That's good.
Don't build your faith on Wikipedia.
Right.
And I know I can't. Lord of mercy, I can't even figure out my cell phone half the time. Sister Donna had to help me with my cell phone earlier this morning. But I'll say that there's a lot of people who's basing their life, basing eternity upon things which they have seen somebody else has wrote or done. The Bible says that we are to study to show ourselves approved, but your life should be based upon Jesus Christ and the testimony of Him revealing it to you. A lot of folks, the Bible says that when Jesus asked him at the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he says, whom do men say that I am? And the disciples replied, some say thou art Elias, some say thou art Jeremiah, and some said I was one of the prophets. He says, whom do you say that I am? Doesn't matter who the preacher says he is. Doesn't matter who the song leader says he is. Who do you say the Son of Man is? You answer that question for yourself. You have to give an answer unto the Lord of who he is. But I believe it's a whole lot better to answer that question today yourself with the Lord than to wait till it's too late to have to answer it. Because the Bible said in the end, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. But I find in today's day and time, I was sitting there and somebody, Brother Jeff had even said something about sporting events and things. And we was at a football game Friday night, and then we had to be at a football game Saturday, and there's a lot of people ringing cowbells. God help us when they invented the cowbell. Can I just give a public service announcement? Cowbells are meant to be hung around a cow's neck, not took to football games. God help the preacher at a football game. But they'll ring that cowbell, Ronnie, like it's dinner bell. And they'll squall at the top of their lungs. And I think it's good here at Mount Zion that I could hear a lot of folks talking and everything. Brother Jeff, I like to hear that sound. It was good. But somebody asked me, he said, how come them folks can't shout like that and go to church and shout like that? I said, because they're full on the things of the world. Ain't got enough room for God on Sunday. And can I say this? It's just as much for the saved individual as the lost person. And that's what I'll preach on today. What are you full of? If you got Matthew chapter number 5, say amen. If you ain't got it, say, hold up, preacher. Matthew chapter number 5, we're going to read one verse. And if you'd like to, we invite you to stand with us as we read the Bible. If you can't, we understand that you can't. But we want to read this. We're going to read one verse. We're going to read verse number 6, Matthew chapter number 5. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Would you help me pray? Precious Lord, love you. Thank you, God, for what I felt in the singing, what I felt in the praying, what I felt, Lord Father, even through the whole morning, even when the offering's being took up, Lord, it just felt real good to be here today so far. And Lord, may we not be a letdown in the message, Lord, that you are wanting to send. I know there is no letdown on your end, Lord. If there's a letdown, it'd be on mine. So God, I'm asking you, Father, if you would, use me. Forgive me if I failed you, Lord Father, but I need that fresh oil from up on high, whereby man cannot preach about. Speak the words of revelation through me into the heart of those that will hear. And Father, may we our attention be focused and arrested and centered upon what you're saying. Lord, that they not see how I preach, but listen to what you're preaching through me. Lord, if I am to be quiet and calm, Lord Father, and to just to stay behind this wooden pulpit, that'd be fine. Lord, if you want it loud, cry aloud and spare not, Lord, we'll do that too. But Lord, what we want to do is preach, Lord Father, with power and demonstration of your Spirit. Lord Father, open up the hearts of all of us, Lord, that not only we hear what you have to say, but Lord, we'd be a doer of what you have to say. Lord Father, therefore we'd be justified by being a doer of your word and our hearer only. Lord Father, and above all things, besides all these things that we've asked, that glory and praise be given to your high and holy name. It's in Jesus' precious name to humbly pray. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing and reading with us. As we said, the world, it seems like today, I'd have to put it all in perspective. I think there's a lot of things that we're full of in the world. As I look out and as I see in this congregation, no doubt there's things that come to people's lives and things that happen. You know, that song that Jeff and Tanya and Madison was singing, God is still good when the waves roll high. No doubt the waves of life sweep through our lives. And no doubt the troubles and the trials that we face, no doubt seems like that we're going to drown or it's going to submerge our boat. It fills us up and we feel like we ain't going to be able to take no more. But I'm glad the Lord is always there with that hand to reach down and to pull us into safety. I'm reminded, though, the things that happen and the circumstances of life may come. The one thing we cannot be filled with is the things that do not profit our life and profit what we're having. But I look and see the things that in this world, it seems like we're just getting fuller and fuller of things that we ought not to have. I find in this scripture here that Jesus is preaching. Some folks, and we look at it as the Beatitudes or the Sermon on the Mount, and I know all those things, but it's the beginning of what Jesus began to preach, that wonderful message. And he says here in this sixth verse, as we are focused upon, he says, he that hungereth and thirst after righteousness. That means you got to have an appetite for it. That means you've tasted and have seen that the Lord is gracious. You have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. Can I say this? Nobody ever goes after Jesus. My Bible tells me this, that God looked down from heaven to see if any man pursued after him and sought him. The Bible says there's none that seeketh after him. There's none that follow him. There's none that do good. No, not one. I'm reminded that in ourself, it's not in us to go after God. It's in us to go after the things of this world. The things of this world bring us pleasure. And I'm going to preach the truth to you this morning. And some folks may be kind of shocked. But the only reason why people go after the things of the world is because they like the things of the world. The Bible says the pleasure of sin. There is pleasure in sin. Moses even said there's pleasure in sin. But he knew that if he took the pleasure in sin over the reproaches of God, he knew that sin would run its course and sin, the pleasure would run out. And he'd be found in a place of wanting a place of a desert, a place of not having what he needs in his life. And I don't care what anybody says, you can get yourself a new car, a new house, new boat, new anything you want. If you name it, you can claim it and put it in your life. But friend, if you don't have Jesus, you will always be searching for something to satisfy you. I know some people make fun of the preacher when he says there's a hole in the center of a human being. There's a hole in the center of the heart of man, in the heart of a woman, in the heart of a boy and a girl that cannot be filled with the things of the world. The only thing that'll fill that hole is Jesus Christ. And though it may sound corny and it may sound hokey, but I believe it sounds like truth to me. I believe This Bible speaks of the things that the Lord has given unto mankind, the things that we should enjoy, the things that we should see. God has given us many things that we can have in our life that bless us. But can I say this? Sometimes we just get way too much of the things that we ought not to have, and we get too full. And when we get too full, we won't hunger and thirst after righteousness. What we'll do? We'll hunger and thirst for the things of the world. I'm reminded the Bible says in Proverbs chapter number 30 and verses 7 through 9. I want to flip there and read that real quick. I begin to think about, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter number 4, as I'm flipping to Proverbs, it says in Ecclesiastes chapter number 4, better is a handful with quietness than both hands full with travail and vexation of spirit. Can I say this? There's often times people say, well, preacher, if one handful is good, two handfuls are better than one. But sometimes two handfuls bring a whole lot more weight with and a whole lot more problems than what you're saying. Anybody hearing the preacher? I was talking to Brother Irvin back here, and he says, how we doing, preacher? I said, I'm reaping in fields I didn't sow in. And I said, sometimes that might be a bad thing. Sometimes things come my way I didn't know was ahead in my way. But friend, can I say this? A handful is good, but sometimes two handfuls is worse. Sometimes that vexation of the spirit comes. And in Proverbs chapter number 30, this is what I wanted to get to in the first part of the message. This is what Solomon had wrote in Proverbs chapter number 30 at verse 7. He said, two things have I required of thee. Deny me them not before I die. Remove far from me vanity and lie. I want to stop right there and say, I have never seen vanity so high in all my life. It seems like the vanity of man, the vanity of woman has just reached at a fever pitch. Can I say it's not something new, Brother Jeff? There's nothing new under the sun. But I have to say there's more vanity now. There's more vain people walking and talking today than there ever has been in the history of the world. I was watching this, and I seen a baseball game, and the announcers was looking out across the stadium, and they showed about, and don't get me wrong, I ain't picking on young girls, but it just happened to be the ones who come up on the screen. I've seen young men do the same thing, and God help you all, pray for me right now. But they sit there, and there's about 10 of them women, Sister Kim, and all of them, they wasn't sitting together. They was different spots of the stands. They sit there, and they sit there, and they's looking at one another, and they had a hot dog in one hand and a phone in the other. And they was doing that over and over and over again. Here was the thing, and you know, don't get me wrong, I think it's fun. Technology's fun, and technology can be used for good, but sometimes we just get overcharged and overfilled with it. Here's the bad thing, Brother Joe. They went to a play. When they come back, and the play was a triple, I do believe it was, and scored two runs. When they spanned back to the stands, Brother Roger, those girls didn't miss a beat. They were still taking selfies. They had now put the hot dog down there. I'm duck facing and do something. They was taking more pictures. And can I say this? I'm the first person who wants to have fun. But you have to look out into this world. We have sought many of vain things, and vanity has reached a fever pitch. And there's no more room. I don't think those young girls hate God. I don't think they're God-hating people. I don't think they're harlots, Sister Vicky. But I think sometimes people don't realize we allow too much of the vain things of the world to interfere with the things of God. And I will say this, God does not take second fiddle to nobody. God does not want visitation rights. God wants full custody. Friend, He bought and paid for you with a price. You've been bought and paid. You're a king's kid, child of God. Rest assured of this. Let the things of the world pass by, though they may be tempting unto you. But the vain things, they're lies. They never satisfy. They'll always pull more things out of you than they'll put in you, and they'll draw you away from God. Verse number 7 says, two things have I required of thee, deny me them not. Before I die, remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? He's saying, I don't want to have so much that I get so full. That I get so full, I'm like that man in the Gospels where Jesus said there was a man one time who prospered, and his harvest was great, and he filled up his barns. And he sat back and looked at those barns. He said, what shall I do? I know what I'll do. I'll pull down my little barns and build me bigger barns. And the Bible said his soul was required of him. Friend, can I say this? Your life does not hinge upon who has the most toys when you die and you win. Your life is hinged upon is where your affection is. There's where your heart will be also. Your treasures, I should say, not your affection, but where your treasure is, there where your heart will be also. And can I say this? You don't need to lay up treasures in an earthly bank. You lay up your treasures in heaven where moth moth and rust doeth not corrupt, where the crookedness of politicians and people of business can steal your retirements and things of that nature. Friend, it behooves you, if you would do, hey, you would invest in everything in Christ Jesus the Lord. Not be full of the things of the Lord of the world, but be full of the things of the Lord. The writer said, let not me be full, lest I forget thee. And then he also says, lest I be full and deny thee and ask who is the Lord, or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of God in vain. He's saying, I don't want to be rich. I don't want to be poor. God, I just want to be yours. I want to be yours. I have found that the things of the world, and some people may look at me and think I'm crazy. I've drove in those new trucks before. I don't care what anybody says. You feel good. And I got in that buddy, a guy I work with, I got in his new Chevrolet. That thing rides like a Cadillac compared to a Dodge Hemi in 2005. And I ain't going to lie to you. I thought about, man, how can I swing a payment? How can I swing this by Tammy and get me a brand new truck? I mean, I'm going to sit there, but the Lord reminded me. He said, you go right ahead and get that truck. And Tammy, this is what he told me. He said, you'll find yourself in the poorhouse. You wouldn't know which end is up. He said, you think that truck it'll bring you pleasure will bring you nothing but sorrow. Can I say there's so many things in this world that brings the sorrow of life, and the Lord does not want us to be full on those things. I'm reminded this, that the Bible, there's three things in the Bible the Lord showed me through and by these, and I'll say that in this world that we're living in today, I believe that we have these things in our, this is the problem that we have in our society. People is full of stirs, people are full of self, and people are full of stuff. They're full of stuff, full of stirs, and full of self. You said, preacher, I don't understand. Well, first of all, I think people are full of self. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter number 23, he says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And he says, eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. What he's saying is that don't trust a person by their words. Trust that person by their actions. A person can say many a things with their lips, but what they're saying and what they're doing ain't adding up. Somebody say amen. But the one thing that you cannot deny is the things that's in your heart, because they're dictated by your actions are dictated by the things that are in your heart. He says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Oftentimes I've seen people, and people don't realize this, and I saw this wrote down. A man by the name of James Allen wrote a book back in the 1800s, the early 1900s, and this is a quote from his book. He said, you are today where your thoughts have brought you. Where you're at right now is where the thoughts of your heart have brought you. And where you'll be tomorrow is where the thoughts of your heart will take you. Oftentimes I've heard people say, well, preacher, it's this person's fault, it's that person's fault in this situation, that situation. But friend, can I say this? At the end of the day, you have to give an account of your own self. You can point the finger at somebody else. But I've realized I have seen more people full of self more than any other thing else in this world. There's people that's more concerned about things of their own life, things of their own world. I mean, used to, there was people who was more concerned about their neighbor. There was people, I'll never forget, somebody had asked this. They said, preacher, what was it like when you was growing up? I remember when we would be on the bicycles, we'd ride everywhere. We'd go everywhere. You could leave the eyesight of your mom and dad, because I know old man Bill Early down the road, if you got out of line, man, he'd put a pot knot on your head, send you home, and you got whipped harder when you got home. If I went the other direction, Ron Birch got a hold of me and put a pot knot on my head. Went around David Corn's house, his mom and dad got a hold of me. And can I say that the days that we're living in today, people close up their doors now. There's been so many things that's been brought out, which leads to the things that causes for us to be filled with ourselves. It's because the things that we're filled is this, the stuff that the world offers. And can I say we get filled with self because of the stuff that we have now accumulated in our life. And I want you to think about this. There has never been technology. There has never been the things that we have in the world today, ever in the history of the world. I mean, you think about this. I heard a person say this. They said, preacher, I would love to go back to just the landline, and everybody just have the landline, and that's the only phone that we have. And I said, friend, can I say this? There's no going back to the old-fashioned landline. They'll never go back to that. You can never go back to not having a computer. You can never go back to the things that once was. Time keeps pushing. The advancements of the world keep pushing. And my Bible tells me in Ecclesiastes, do you believe, in verse number 7, or chapter number 7, verse number 29, the Solomon said this, that I know that God has made man upright, but he has sought out many inventions. And friend, time after time, the latest and the greatest gets into our heart. The latest and greatest get us in our life. And we begin to do things and panel our eye around the things of these inventions that come. You said, preacher, what are you getting at? When we look for the things that God, man has invented, and we look for the things that man has conjured up, and we have brought those things in our life, Brother Jeff, they're like a tick on the back of an old hound dog. It buries itself deep. And if anybody knows anything about ticks, a lot of times they like to get around the ear of that animal, and they like to get in there in the crevices where nobody can see them. And can I say this? That's just the way the world is. The inventions of the world, what they like to do is get in the midst of your ears where nobody else is looking and nobody else is going on. And what they're saying in your ear is blocking out wants to say, and you're getting yourself overfull with the things of the world, overcharged with the things of the world, and you cannot function without the things of the world. I see people all the time saying, I'm getting unplugged from society. Folks don't unplug from society. That's what's wrong with society. It needs to plug in and plug into Christ. There's more people more concerned about what's on the social media pages. There's people more concerned about themselves and how they're portrayed upon this. I have seen, we went to that movie thing and saw the things about the social media, what's going on in this world today. There's people out there who have literally thousands of friends on their social media, but they can't function with the person one-on-one. They said, I need some help from my friends. And they said, well, go talk to your friends. They said, I can't, because nobody's answering my responses back from social media. All their friends is locked up in a little old screen on a desk in a bedroom or in an office somewhere or in the kitchen or the living room or the dining room, Brother Joe. And that's all the friends that they have. They don't know what it's like to go outside, smell the fresh air, see that, hey, if it's raining outside, thank God he's sending the rain. Do a dance in the rain. Go play in a mud puddle. Go do something. Enjoy the things of God. Why? Because the things of this world has overcharged us and we're full and there's no more room for God. I've been reminded as I look out and seen, and it's not only just in the world. I do believe it's taken over the church world. I do believe it's crept into the church houses, no matter how old-fashioned and old-timey you think you are. Everything is a creeping in. I mean, nowadays, the cell phone, the social media, and the things of the internet, YouTube, and videos, and all these other things, Instagram, and all the other stuff. I want to say this. They'll rob us of our time. They'll rob us of our meditation. It's hard sometimes to meditate on the Word of God. I'll be honest with you. I found myself last night, I told Brother Eddie, I'm on call, and I didn't get no sleep last night because God kept me up saying, you know, this is about the only time I get a good, clear shot at your ear because you're allowing too many things in your life, preacher. What you need to do is cut off the things of the world and stop letting them trying to fill you up. You need to let me fill you up. He that hungereth and thirsteth after righteousness shall be filled. He said, preacher, what you need to do is unplug from everything else and get plugged right back into me. That's what you need to do. That's what you need to do. I'll sit there and I thought for sure getting rid of the TV set, getting rid of the satellite dish is what we got rid of. Got rid of the satellite dish. So now there's no way that TV can get in the house. But man, that phone is sneaky. It's sneaky. Y'all hearing the preacher? Y'all all right? Y'all praying for me? I got to follow the Lord. I think every man has got a problem with this. I said, I think they do. If you ain't one of them men, this ain't going towards you. But when they show them half-naked women on that social media stuff, you can't get that out your head. Right? I'm getting friend requests from people I have no clue from other parts of the world. Right? Somebody else get that stuff? Y'all know exactly what I'm preaching about. And you can't help it because your curiosity said, I just got a friend request. Am I still preaching? Next thing you know, you look and you say, well, who in the world is this? She don't look familiar. Well, Lord, no, because she looks like she's about 18, 19 years old. How many people I know about 18, 19 year old to go to church with or see them at a football game? Everybody with the preacher? Yep. Right? And you women don't look at me like you. I don't get that. Y'all get it from the men. Y'all get them. What it is them crazy wacko hackers trying to get into your social media stuff. So what they try to do, they go to the men's sites and lure them with things that they know men will look at. Right? Now, don't no one look at me like you're super spiritual. Right? I can't help it sometimes. I go, who's that? I go, whoa! Has anybody ever done that? Huh? Now, you bunch of cowardly men. I know my wife's sitting right there. I know she'll probably kill me in my sleep tonight. She won't, Vicky, because I know this. She ain't no other woman going to have me. She's like, I'm stuck with you the rest of my life. But here's the problem that we have. You don't go, whoa. It's when you go, whoa. Pretty soon, the wife don't look as attractive as she used to look. My wife, me and Brother Joe and Sister Kim go way back. My wife I used to have a fetish for pocket knives. And she'd get mad at Joe and said he'd bring in that pornographic magazine. He'd come back with a Smoky Mountain Knife Works magazine. He'd say, Preacher, you need to look at this and look at some of the knives. And I'd sit there and she's like, you need to get that filthy thing out of my house because all I want to do is go get me some pocket knives, wasn't it? And I used the thing, what I'm trying to get at, I hope y'all listen, I'm trying to give you an earthly example to give you a heavenly meaning. We're overcharged and filled with the things of the world. Do you know why a lot of people can't sleep at night? A lot of folks can't get no rest because they're constantly being stirred by self and by stuff. So we're full of self, stuff that's causing us to be stirred. Our mind's constantly racing. Why did that person not comment on my post? Why didn't that person say hi to me in church? Why didn't that person shake my hand? Does that person even pray for me? Now we're filled with so much stirring that we don't know who we can trust and love. And so what we do is we draw back, don't we? And the whole entire time, Christ is saying, just get filled up with me. And everything else gets its place. Oftentimes, I don't know about anybody else, but we'll wrestle back and forth. We'll wrestle with the things of this world. We'll wrestle with things and try not to figure out. When that writer says, you are today where your thoughts have brought you. And when I look back, and if I'm not in a place where I know I need to be, and if I'm in a place where the Lord says I'm not supposed to be, it's not nobody else's fault but mine. Amen. What I've allowed into my life. Secondly, I'm reminded that where my thoughts will take me tomorrow can take me to a better place than I am today, but who will I surrender my thoughts to? I found in Acts chapter number 6, verse number 8, Stephen, mighty man of God, the Bible said he was full of faith and power. Who here would like to be full of faith and power? Amen. Bible says in Acts chapter 9, verse 36, hey, sisters, hey, ladies, hey, young ladies in the Lord, Tabitha, otherwise known as Dorcas, the Bible says that she was a woman that was full of good works and alms deeds. Yeah. You said, Preacher, I get the good works. What's the alms deeds? She provided for folks that was in need no matter what it was. Food, clothing, rest, love, comfort, petting. Tabitha was full of those good works and alms deeds. I find in Acts chapter number 11, verse number 24, that Barnabas was a good man. He was a good man, and the Bible said he was full of the Holy Ghost and faith. That's hot right there. Holy Ghost and faith. Minded about being full, you got to watch what you're full on. Because when you're full on the things of the world, you mark this down. When you get yourself filled up on things of the flesh or things of the world, when I say things of the flesh and things of the world, when you spend more time doing the things of the world that does not profit, they may feel good for a little while, but the Bible says, Timothy was wrote to by the Apostle Paul in chapter 2, verse number 3. He said, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves more than lovers of God. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. They seek the things out more that will please them, things that will please them more than they'll please the Lord. And you say, Preacher, I don't understand what's going on. We find ourselves in a place where folks can't find the peace, can't find the love, can't find sanctity, and can't find a place in life where they can say, it can kick back and say, I have finally got a place where I know where God wants me to be. Make sure you know this, it's not in the riches of this world. God doesn't have a problem with a person being rich. There's people in the Bible who was rich. But the problem was when people allowed the riches to get in the way of God. They get full on the riches and God gets put on the back burner. And then there's people who was really poor. Hey, some of us like will classify ourselves as really poor, but I'm reminded of the woman who only had two mites and she cast them all into the tranny changers saying, I trust God. I'll get filled with God that He'll take care of me. She wanted to be full with the Lord. But when we're filled with self and we're filled with stuff, we'll be filled with stirs. Can't sit still. Got to constantly be moving. Got to constantly move around. Things upset you. Things bother you. Your feelings are wore on a frenzy. Your heart's out on your sleeve. Things don't go our way. We get mad. We get sore. I'll just stay home. But friends, these apostles and these men and these women, these people in the Lord, what'd they do? They stuck her out. They went out there and said, you know what? I'm filled with God. And when you get filled with God, you'll be amazed what you'll put up with. Somebody say amen right there. And when you get filled with God, you might just pray in the Holy Ghost and everything just start falling into place. Anybody pray with that? Anybody believe that? I believe praying in the Holy Ghost. Anybody believe praying in the Holy Ghost? I believe praying in the Holy Ghost. I do. Somebody says, what do you mean praying in the Holy Ghost? You are Baptist. Hey, that's Bible. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Right? Y'all help the preacher out right now. I don't know why I'm on this. You get off in the Holy Ghost, start praying, you start confessing sins you know you didn't even do. You'll start crying. You'll start pouring everything out. Next thing you know, it's not a five-minute prayer. You're there down there for about 50 minutes. And you got spit and slobber and everything everywhere, tears, everything flowing. Your body's all sore. You don't know when you get up. Why? Because you got took off in the Holy Ghost and prayed. Anybody hearing the preacher? Somebody says, Baptists don't believe praying in the Holy Ghost. That's what's wrong. Baptist people need to get in praying in the Holy Ghost. You say, well, you preach them praying on the Holy Ghost. It's evident. There's folks need to pray in the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's good preaching, Brother Roger. What's wrong, preacher? I have found that the reason why the church houses are no longer staying full. Now, I used to get told this all the time. Brother Joe was my first pastor. He can say amen. I used to get told all the time, well, we preach the old time way. And since we preach the old time way, nobody wants to come here the old time way. Mm-mm. They're full of something. I can't say it. Right? Because Jeremiah was told to say this. He said, stand ye the way you see and ask for the old path and walk therein. You'll find rest for your soul. Bible said, faith come by hearing the word of God. When the preacher man preached to me about sin and about there was a way to get out of that sin and get out of hell, I got in that and I found rest for my soul. I think the old time way, Brother Ronnie, is still just as good as it ever was. It's just as new now as it was old timey back then. It's good. But the problem I've heard people saying, but preacher, have you seen there's a lot of folks leaving the Christian faith? Well, the reason why they're leaving the Christian faith is because they never got in the Christian faith. And there's a vast exodus leaving churches. Do you know the United States of America, there's supposed to be a quote-unquote Christian nation? It never was meant to be as a Christian nation. That's not what the founding fathers set it up to be. It was set to be a place of freedom for people to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, Mayflower Compact. But the problem is that so many people think that it's because it's our belief in Jesus Christ that's caused this country to be so bad, when actually it's the thing that's kept us safe for all these years. One nation under God, Brother Tony, I still believe the hand of God, His grace is sufficient as it was preached. Right? I still believe in the red, white, and blue, the stars and stripes. Amen? But I don't think we should, y'all go help me, I'm about to get political. I got to stay on point. I got to stay on point, Brother Wade. You pray for me. What's wrong is we get so filled up on things of this world that we no longer have time for God. Don't get me wrong. I like sports. My boys play sports. I got one playing football. It's got me busy on Friday and Saturday. But I left the ball game on Saturday. Didn't get much sleep. Jumped in the car. Went out tomorrow ready for a nursing home ministry. Somebody says, preacher, you need to have time for yourself. I do have all the time for myself. It's called glory. I get to spend all the time I want. It's for myself. I get to worship the one who saved my soul and see him face to face. But while I'm here on earth, I got to give time to the Lord. Oftentimes we get so full. And can I say this, safe person? Y'all listen to me, safe person. I ain't trying to be mean. But the reason why you're having a lot of problems in your life is because you're not giving enough space for the Lord. You're filling it up with other things. And when you fill it up with other things, negative things start popping up. Things that tear down start happening. Things start going on. When God's not given the place where He is needed in your life, that's number one. You'll start filling up things that's not there, using things, you're grabbing at things, and you'll think that that's what God wants you to have, but it never stays, it never sticks. He said, he that hungereth and thirsteth after righteousness shall be filled. I like being filled up. Somebody say amen. You know, we said this a while back. Made a big batch of chili. Me and Tony got that big chili cook-off and everything. We all ate so much chili downstairs in that basement. Had a good time fellowshipping, didn't we? I still had the best chili. I don't care what Tony says. And everybody else in the church liked Tony's chili too. But we ate so much chili. What was we doing that? Y'all don't look at me like you got that you're just some kind of primp. And, whoa. Excuse me. What is it? You're so full. We so full on that chili. We was burping. Right? Y'all don't look at me like that. Y'all get so much, eat so full. Y'all, it happens. But wouldn't it be good if we got so filled up on God that we just couldn't contain it? It started hiccuping. Next thing you know, you're, bless Jesus. Amen. You start using them words of worship. Praise His name. Hey, man. That's when you put the H in front of the A. Put a Y after the A. Hey, man. Some folks even try to get like Toby Powers and say hallelujah when they're from up north of the Ohio River. Y'all with the preacher? It's called being filled with the Lord. There's two things that I want to say this and I want to deal with first. I want to deal with the saved people. There's a will for you. And it's in the Bible. I want you to listen close to this pastor. If you're saved, here's some pastoral advice. I know what the Lord's will is for your life. And it's in Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5. Now, I know I didn't turn around and look, but I gathered there was a whole lot of people that stood up on the day they got saved. And if you didn't stand up on any day, I would highly recommend you stand up today and get saved. And you can stand up with the rest of us on Sunday. But if you're saved, I know what God's will is for you. Ephesians chapter number 5, verse number 17 is, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. That's pretty simple right there, isn't it? Verse 18 says, be not drunk with wine, wherein's the excess. I want to stop right there before I go any further. He's not just mentioning alcohol, but he is mentioning alcohol. But he's not just mentioning alcohol. The wine is a representation of the things of the world. Be not filled with wine. Where's next? Says, be not filled with the world wherein is excess. When you get drunk on the things of the world, people have sent me things, and trust me, I don't want to go into it. I don't want to glamorize it. We got some young boys and young girls. I hope they never know what it's like. I hope they get a testimony like some of you's gotten, where alcohol's never touched your lips and drugs has never touched your body. Somebody say amen right there. That's a good testimony right there. But when you get drunk on things of the world, you walk funny, you talk funny, you dress funny, you behave stupid, huh? You don't normally act the way you do when you're drunk on things of the world. Is that about what the preacher's saying? But the next verse, he says, the same verse, he says, but be ye filled with the Spirit. That's the will of the Lord. Being filled. Who'd like to be full of the Holy Ghost of God? You know what happens when you get full with the Holy Ghost of God? You walk different. You'll talk different. You'll behave unlike you normally would behave. Why? Because the Spirit of the Lord is all the way for the top. When you've got God in you and you're full with the Spirit of the Lord, there's no room for anything else. Some people might say, well, preacher, I still think we ought to be able to do some things and have some fun. Amen. The Bible says, in all things give thanks unto the Lord. This is His will according to Christ Jesus, His acceptable will. But friend, while you're in the world, don't get filled up on the things of the world. Be in the world, but be filled with the Spirit of God. The Bible says this, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody into your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's how a saved individual has a victorious life. Being filled with the things of the Lord, not of things of the world. Can I say that? I want to preach. I know I'm running out of time and your attention span's not very wide, and sometimes I do get long-winded. Just sometimes. But can I say this? We don't have to look very far. When you can't find the Lord and you don't feel Him in your presence, He's right where you left Him. And 99.99% of the time, you left Him out doing the things of the world. There's nothing wrong with a football game or a baseball game or things of that nature. But friends, when you allow the things of the world to override and supercharge you and fill you up, can I say this? No wonder I've heard people say, what happened to them old-time preachers? Them old-time preachers, they just filled with the Holy Ghost and had power and preach on hellfire and brimstone, and people and people would move and flock to the altars and preach. Donna's daddy, Jesse Fraley would come to me. He said, you young preachers, he said, I don't envy you. You're having to preach 40 minutes and 45 minutes. He said, used to, we'd preach 15 minutes. The altar was full. He said, people would move because the fear of the Lord was real present and fervent in the life and in the world that they lived in. But now we got saved people, supposed Christian people, who's writing supposed Christian and worship songs saying that fear is a liar, when my Bible tells me that fear is the beginning of wisdom and depart from evil is knowledge. Thank God, we still have an old-time Bible and old-time preachers will still preach it. But friend, what you need to do is let God have all of your life and get rid of the things of the world. Now, if you're here and you're not saved, here's God's will for you. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promises, as other men consider the slackness. But He's long-suffering. Thank God He's long-suffering. That means He's patiently waiting for you no matter how mad He ought to get with us. When He has every right to destroy us, He doesn't. He loves us. That's long-suffering. When even though we do Him wrong, Brother Roger, He still does us right. I'm better to the Lord, or He's better to me than I am to the Lord. He's been the best friend that I've ever had. I can't say I've been the best friend He's ever had, but He's long-suffering. How good would it be if we was long-suffering towards one another? Y'all pray for me. I'm about to get off on sidetrack. But I think we ought to display the fruits of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. Pray for me now. He said, but the Lord's not, He's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but all would come to repentance. I hear that this country now, it used to be in the 90s, then I heard it went down to the 80s, then I heard it went down to the 70s, and I've heard it's down in the 60s. 60% of the country identifies themselves as Christian. How many people we got in this country? What, 300 some million people? I think that's what it is. Man, if 60% of 300 million people went to church, that'd be pretty packed church houses. It'd be difference makers, wouldn't it? Remember when 9/11 happened? Boy, everybody went to church and prayed, and folks got saved. I believe they did. He's having church everywhere they could because people just want to go to church. They was afraid. Fear had got a hold of them. But when the fear subsided, so did their desire of the Lord. They had enough God. They thought that was good enough. They went back out and getting filled up with the Lord, with the world. What are you full of today? Quiet, isn't it? Are you full of self? Are you more concerned? How much time have you spent with the Lord? Are you filled with stuff? Do the inventions have more of your attentions than the Savior does? What if you're constantly filled with being stirred? People using your ears for a garbage can. People filling you up and with all of their troubles and all of their problems. There's people right now that's about to break under the pressure of the things of the world, Sister Vicki, that people pile onto them. And I'm not saying to be mean. Some folks just good people. Thank God there's some good people still doing some good things in this world. But can I say this? The best person that you can unload all those burdens and weights to, His name is Jesus Christ. There's grace for you. No matter how bad you've sinned, no matter how bad you've done, no matter what you've done, there's grace. There's mercy. You've tried to provide. You've tried to do the things that was best, but there's no place for Jesus Christ. And I hear people all the time saying, well, the Lord understands. And I always have to come back and say, does He? My Bible tells me that when Christ was led of the Spirit into the wilderness and He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, that when He was at His weakest, the devil came to Him. He said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. Now, Jesus very easily could have made the stones into bread. But we have traded the things of God for the things of the world, thinking that the things of the world is God. But Jesus come back and said, it is written that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. He even went so far, and in the fashion and manner, when they asked him, they said, Lord, teach us how to pray. And Jesus said, thou prayest after this manner, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, give us this day our daily bread. That's what he said. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, give us this day our daily bread. You've all heard me say this before, right? He didn't say, give us this month's bread. Give us 2 weeks' worth of bread. You said, preacher, where are you getting at? When we start stockpiling the things, we start trusting in the things we got stockpiled. I'm reminded in the days of Moses and they're in the wilderness, they was only supposed to get that one ration of manna for the day. If they tried to hold on to it, Brother Eddie, it would rot and breed worms. Y'all hearing the preacher? Can I say this? There's a lot of worms in our lives where we've stocked up on things that maybe God meant for them to be good. Like I said, inventions is good. If you use them right, they can be used for good. But for some reason, man seeks them out and uses them for their own pleasure. What are you full of today?